Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome. Delegate Mary Washington was going to join us this evening to talk about her bill that is in the House of Delegates, which is really a very important bill. It's not getting enough play in the press, and I think we need to talk about it. It has to do with the issues of rent to own. Anybody who lives in this community and places around the state, Prince George's County, other places, see these rent-to-own places everywhere that charge exorbitant rates for people who can't afford to buy things because they don't make enough money to buy them because they don't have the work or jobs or income to buy them, or their salaries are too low. But it's difficult to live a life without not just television, but with the kinds of things you need, like a couch or a stove or a refrigerator, so you can rent-to-own these things, then you get ripped off for huge amounts of money, lose the things you're renting, they seem to prey on communities that are poor working class communities. Well, Mary was going to join us. She's stuck in a hearing. Marceline White is joining us. She's executive director of the Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition. She's been on the show before. Marceline, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So folks, join us here, 410-319-8888. You know, I know these places like check cashing joints are in all of our communities. They're right around the corner from where you live. They're right around the corner from where you work. Bring your thoughts here. I mean, I think this is one other scheme in the marketplace to rip off poor people. And some people are trying to do something to stem that tide. So, Marceline, tell us what's happening.
Great. Well, we've been working closely with Delegate Mary Washington, who has a bill in the House right now that would really rein in rent-to-own stores and provide new consumer protections. As you mentioned, MCRC, the Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition, my group, did some research, and we found that in Maryland, these stores are charging, you know, between 65 to 305% interest rates on a refrigerator or on, you know, a stove or washing machine. And we just think these are costs that low-income families and working families can't afford to pay. They're too much. And Delegate Washington's bill would look to extend the protections, make sure people could get their property, they had enough time to pay on their property and their installment loans, and make sure that rates are reined in to a reasonable level.
I mean, it's amazing to me that this is even legal to start with.
It is amazing to believe that it's even legal to start with. I think one of the issues is we agree that it can serve a need for a small number of people. If, you know, there are times, of course, that people are maxed out on their credit cards, they can't just go and buy a refrigerator or a washing machine at the store. So having some kind of credit makes sense, and even recognizing that this is a little bit riskier is fine. But these kinds of rates are the kinds of rates we've outlawed on payday lending. Maryland has a really strong policy for more than 30 years saying that we think 33% interest rates are adequate for taking out personal loans of a certain amount. So the fact that, on the other hand, we're allowing these kinds of high-cost rental agreements to take place in the state doesn't make a lot of sense. The industry argues it's apples and oranges, but we think it's, you know, golden delicious versus red delicious. It's the same kind of thing.
So what is the industry's argument?
What?
What is the industry's argument?
Argument is that you can't possibly evaluate the risks that they have because people return the products and they provide free delivery and they provide free, you know, they'll provide repair or a replacement if something goes wrong with their item. But the fact is, you can certainly cost that out. You know, to do deliveries, it takes, you know, it may cost you $50 to pay someone to pick up your item and deliver it. Other places have warranties, and you can look at the cost of what those warranties are. But the more important fact, and what other states have decided, is that these costs are built into the cost of doing business with a rent-to-own store, and consumers don't have a choice. If they could opt in to, you know, having the free pickup and the free delivery, that would be one thing. You know, if they say, no, my uncle has a truck, I don't need it, but it's already built into the price, so it already is the cost of doing business. It's just a hidden cost. And, you know, we know from the foreclosure crisis and other kinds of high-cost loans, there are all kinds of hidden fees that companies will insert. And we think this is just another one. And that's what some other states have agreed with. They found that, in fact, it's already built into the cost and you could cost it out. So, you you know, that's their argument, and they say because you can refund, you can return it at any time, they have to factor that in. But at the same time, they resell, they re-rent the item, and they don't necessarily disclose how many times it's been used. So it's often at the same price. So you may be paying the same price for a new refrigerator as one that's been in four or five different homes. And we also think that's unfair to consumers.
So now, if the bill is now where? It's in the Economic Matters Committee, right?
Yes.
So it has to be voted out of there, and I'm sure the lobbyists are lobbying against having this bill come to the floor.
That's right. And I think, you know, it'll be heard on Wednesday in the Senate Finance Committee. And I think one of our beliefs is that we can talk a lot about how complicated it is, but it's really not complicated. If you believe that low income and working families should keep $1,000 in their pockets rather than give it to rent a center, you should do something to rein in the cost. If you think that the contract people should be able to understand the contract before they sign it, then you should have clearer protections for people and clearer language. So the House, the Economic Matters Committee, is debating these issues right now, and the Senate Finance will have a chance to weigh in on Wednesday.
410-319-8888. Join us here. We're talking about Delegate Mary Washington's bill to rein in the rental purchase agreements, the rental places who will rent to own places, I should say, that charge exorbitant fees, exorbitant interest, keep people, in poverty when they need necessities they can't get anywhere else. Maybe you don't agree that there should be reined in. 410-319-8888 is the number here. We'll take your calls here as they're coming in. 410-319-8888. So tell me what this bill would do exactly.
Sure. So what the bill would do is, as it was drafted, it talked about fair prices, which would be to cap the price that the rental stores can charge and the total cost of a contract. And, you know, what we've done is we've looked at the best practices in other states. These kinds of price caps, whether you cap it by the interest rate or by the overall cost, have taken place in other states, and rent-owned stores are still operating in these states. They haven't gone out of business. They just have to charge less than they do here. We also have said that they should do things like disclose the cash price and the total cost, as well as the interest rate, and the cost of what it would be to have a similar item at a local large big box retailer or someplace else. And then the other piece is that it's called a reinstatement right. But right now, if you are paying every week or every month on a rent-to-own item and you hit a bump in the road economically and you can't make up the payment quickly, you lose all of the rights you had with that rental contract, and you have to return the item and then start all over. And, you know, that sounds to us very much like the churning that happens with payday loans, where you can't get out of it and then you start all over. And we want a longer timeline for people to be able to keep their rights and all the money they've already paid out towards the rent-to-own item. And then finally, yeah.
Well, go ahead, Marceline, go ahead.
And then finally, just clarity, making sure that the contracts are written in plain English or in a plain form of any other language used, because we've understood there are cases where they'll be advertising in Spanish, but the contract's in English. And we're saying that if you're advertising in Spanish, the contract should be in Spanish, in a plain Spanish that people can understand, or whatever the language is that it's advertised in.
Let me open the phones here, 410-319-8888. We're talking about Delegate Mary Washington's bill that she is putting forth in the House. It's also going to be to take on the rent-to-own businesses to make sure the public is not, in just quick terms, ripped off. 410-319-8888. And Lakeisha, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Hi,
Thanks Lakeisha. For taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I can actually say I think it's a fabulous idea to propose legislation. I often liken those rent-to-own places to payday loans. And a lot of times what happens is people just simply don't know what they're signing up for, and they don't realize what the total cost is. All they know is they need a refrigerator or whatever for their families, and they simply don't realize it. And even if they don't lower the cost, simply educating people on this is what this actually costs if you purchased it today from Sears or what have you, and this is what you will wind up paying if you go through the terms of this. And it'll be an exorbitant amount. Just like with the credit cards, when I started getting my statements and I saw that if you pay the minimum, this, you'll be paying it for 72 years, but if you just pay an extra $30, $40, you'll have it done in 3 years. Like, it really impacted the decisions that I made. So I think it's a fabulous idea, and I really hope that it passes.
Yeah, I hope that it passes, too. I shouldn't be saying that on the air, but I guess I... I mean, but I've seen so many people over the years that I've known and worked with that have been ripped off by this.
People just don't know. I don't think, and a lot of times, you know, people are judgmental. Well, didn't you know better? Some people just don't know. If you take someone and tell them, someone who's maybe low income, who is just getting by, and you say, well, hey, you know what? Your refrigerator went up, and you can get a brand new refrigerator. All you have to do is pay us $20 a week. They find $20 a week feasible because they may not be able to go out to Sears or Home Depot and purchase a $1,500 refrigerator. However, you know, if they simply knew the math behind it, maybe they would try to wait or get a used one. Just educating people, let people know what their options are and what they're really paying. I think that's really important.
Well, and that's a great point. That's actually one of the things the bill would do is we're calling it the box that the caller was talking about is the Schumer box, telling you if you pay the minimum, this is what it'll cost. If you pay more, this is how soon you'll pay it off. We're actually talking about doing something similar in this bill, calling it the Washington box, so that it very clearly sets out for people what the real costs are. And then if you decide to go ahead and take on this rent-to-own transaction, you're doing it with your eyes wide open. But, yeah, we've too often seen that people don't understand the real cost, and making that clear is something that seems like everyone should be able to support.
Well, Keisha, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you so much.
I'm glad you're part of the show. 410-319-8888, and Andrea, you're on the phone.
Hi.
Hi, Andrea.
I was calling because I definitely support the bill, just because, like the previous caller just mentioned, there are a lot of people, unfortunately, that don't know. But for those, there are those of us that do know and still go to those places anyway. And I think for the ones that do know, I think let's use our common sense and not give in to impulse controls so you don't get taken advantage of, and just save your money, kind of like our grandparents used to teach us, because, or just buy something used. Like, you know, there's been plenty of times, I mean, I still do, and I make decent money. I buy stuff from the thrift store. I go on Craigslist. I drive around town. I'll snatch it off the yard and fix it up for a couple dollars. So, you know, that's always an alternative, but I definitely support the bill because, like, you know, not everybody does know. And, you know, a lot of people that are low income, or if people don't know, you know, they are taken advantage of. So I do think it's a great thing to put in place. So kudos to you.
Thank you, Andrea. Let us go to Clarence in Baltimore. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Steiner, Mr. Washington. I'd like to ask the question as to the generation of the contract. Hello?
We're here. You're on. You're on. Go ahead.
Will any of these companies be able to circumvent any law that's passed in Maryland by using the Internet to advertise here, then generate a contract in another state and transfer that contract back to the state of Maryland? Because I know for a fact, because I've seen it in conversation, I've seen it happen before, that some of the payday loan places advertise here, and somehow or another they circumvent local laws by having that money seemingly transferred to a local check cashing place from out of town. Do you see a problem here, or is what I'm asking applicable in your law?
Interesting question. Thank you so much. Marceline?
Sure. It's a great question, and I think your analogy to payday loans is right. I think the business model is a little different. With payday loans now, they're not supposed to be able to offer loans to Maryland consumers. And if someone finds out that they're doing so, the Commissioner of Financial Regulation can send them a cease and desist because it goes above our personal loan limit. But because rent-to-own stores, you know, have to provide you with a physical object, they're going to have to continue to operate as a storefront. We have looked at, and it is an issue with the military because, of course, servicemen and women move around a lot. So they've often been a target for payday or for rent-to-own lenders or rent-to-own places because they'll rent and then they'll move and return it. But the contracts, it usually applies where you started the contract. But I don't think they'll go to a straight internet business because they have to actually deliver the property to you.
Thank you so much, Clarence. Let's go to our next caller at 410-319-8888. We're joined here by Marceline White, Executive Director of the Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition. Delegate Mary Washington was going to join us, but she's stuck in committee hearings and talking about the bill to rein in the rent-to-own businesses that she is putting forth in the House of Delegates. And I think, if I'm right, Catherine Pugh is doing it on the Senate side. 410-319-8888 is the number here. LaVon, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, and hello to everyone.
Hi, LaVon.
To ask a question about whether or not the laws that were recently passed for consumer protection by the Obama administration, did they not cover predator kind of lending schemes, rental kind of things for, that would target poor people, you know? And the other question I wanted to know is those kinds of schools, they are called trade schools, that are also kind of, to me, are predator kind of set up that would have people have false hope that they're going to get a job in some kind of technology field or some kind of data processing or whatever, and then they never materialize a job. I mean, after paying $10,000 in a loan,
right,
ruining their credit. So I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thanks, LaVon. Marceline?
Sure. Well, you're right that the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that was passed as part of the Dodd-Frank bill is looking at a number of high-cost financial products. But the way they're doing it is very smart, but it takes some time where they're really gathering information and doing a lot of research on all of these issues to look at what the problems are and then what their rulemaking authority can be. So while this is, I think, on their list, they haven't taken it up and done all the research they need to move forward on this issue now. And one of the things we're trying to do is make sure, and they've said, with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, they think they should be the floor for consumer protection, not the ceiling. And so what we want to do is pass strong consumer protection laws in Maryland now, and then, you know, ideally they'll also pass these national and federal laws on rent-to-own later. But we don't want to wait until they have time to move forward on it. We think, you know, families need better protections right now.
Who owns these businesses?
Well, some of them are franchises, so some of them are local businessmen and women that franchise through Rent-A-Center or through Aaron's or Color Time. But the industry itself is quite large and growing all the time in this economy. I mean, one of the things we found is that Rent-A-Center has opened 445 new stores over the past year, and they're making, you know, millions and millions of dollars. In Maryland alone, the stores are generating $67 million a year. So sometimes they're owned by a person who owns one store or somebody who owns several, but they're all part. Most of them are part of these national chains.
I mean, I know that some of the payday loan businesses were actually owned by banks.
Yep, that's right, and they're continuing to develop those relationships. Right, and these are not owned by banks, but they're owned by national businesses who are doing quite well in this economy, charging people 2 to 3.5 times the going rate for, you know, basic merchandise.
So what's the state of the bill now, and what can our listeners who are listening do to affect the outcome of this bill?
Well, it would be fabulous if people could either call or email members of the Economic Matters Committee and let them know that you support the House bill. It's House Bill 997, and you want to see strong protections for consumers who use rent-to-own contracts. And similarly, the bill is going to be heard in the Senate Finance Committee on Wednesday, so calling Senator Pugh to thank her for her support and calling members of the Senate Finance Committee, telling them that you'd like to see this bill passed in the Senate would be fantastic. And it's Senate Bill 778.
Well, I wish that I know Mary really wanted to be on the show. I know she was stuck in a committee. It's the nature of the intensity of politics at the moment in Annapolis.
Yes.
So, but Marcy, I do appreciate your being a part of the show.
Thank you.
And taking the time with our listeners. And let's refer to what the bill number is so people know what they're talking about when they call. This is
House Bill 997 and Senate Bill 778.
And we'll have all those attached to all those links on steinershow.org that people can link to and let their voice be heard. And I want to thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Marceline.
Okay.
Our number's line just open 410-319-8888. We're about to be joined in here in just a minute by my dear friend Leah Gilmore, and who works with us here at Center for Emerging Media, to talk about any number of things. We're going to talk about the medical marijuana bill that's going through the House. We are going to spend some time tomorrow on this program talking about the travesty of Trayvon Martin, who was gunned down in Florida. And the captain of this neighborhood watch, George Zimmerman, has not been arrested for his murder, even though his screams were heard on tape. We're going to be looking at that, and we can hear what your thoughts are about that right now at 410-319-8888. I was looking on Ray Winbush's Facebook page. Of course, you know Ray Winbush is here at Morgan State University, and Ray is one of our brilliant scholars here, head of the Institute for Urban Research here at Morgan State University, and a clinical psychologist. And he had a really interesting piece that we're going to investigate also for tomorrow's show that on his site, that white-on-black murder in the United States has increased since Barack Obama was elected president. I'm not sure what that means. I'm going to read the article very carefully and talk about what all that has to do. I mean, but what that means and how much it's increased. I think that it's something that you can't just kind of dismiss. I mean, it's something you have to deal with and address. I think that there's a lot of racism that's bubbling up from the bottom since President Barack Obama was elected, and we'll get into some of that. We're going to take a brief break to let Leah Gilmore get in here and come right back. Join us here at 410-319-8888. Don't go anywhere.